It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Border disorder.
Really hard to process thousands and thousands of people. It's also very preventable.
That is the big story this Tuesday. The number of migrant kids coming into the U.S. now turning into a nightmare for President Biden. Border officials say they've got more than 3,200 unaccompanied minors in custody right now. That's more than triple the number just 2 weeks ago.
When you tell them, look, we're not going to deport you, might even give you asylum, and we're definitely going to release you, give you a COVID test and a bus ticket anywhere you want, they're going to get a huge influx of people.
Texas Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw says the crisis is President Biden's own making. Border towns like Del Rio, Texas, getting hit the hardest. Bruno Lozano, the mayor there.
Mayors across the border are facing a rock and a hard place. You know, we do want to try to find some kind of balance to assist these individuals that have become instantaneously homeless once they're released into our communities. However, we also have a fine responsibility to our constituents and to our taxpaying citizens in our communities.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says there needs to be order at the border.
It's entirely reckless. It's terrible policy. And it is going to cause problems in our country. And it's being done for ideological reasons.
Governor DeSantis says the president is needlessly putting American lives at risk and putting a financial strain on states all across the country. Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Glenn Thompson spoke to Family Life News earlier today.
This is the Biden border crisis. This is a failure of leadership. The message is close schools, open borders.
Thompson says the president promised to change former President Trump's tough stance at the border, and now the country's paying for it.
It really is a crisis from epic proportions because it's health, it's the economy, it's safety, and it was all avoidable. This is a crisis of President Biden's creation, so he owns it.
One border town in Texas says 25% of the migrants dropped off there have tested positive for COVID-19. Impeachment push. That is the other big story at noon.
If they really believe in resignation, why not start the impeachment process?
Republicans in the New York State Assembly have started the process of removing Governor Andrew Cuomo amid sexual harassment claims and a nursing home scandal. Minority Leader Will Barclay.
Regardless of how many hearings or investigations we have, the real problem now is the governor's lost so much credibility and trust that we don't feel like he can go forward and govern.
Nearly 50 state lawmakers have called on the governor to step down. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio among those saying it's time for Cuomo to go.
It's a sad situation in so many ways. People have to believe you to be effective as a leader. Fewer and fewer people are believing what the governor's saying, and that has to be addressed.
New York State Attorney General Letitia James has announced the team that'll lead her investigation into sexual harassment claims against the governor. Here's New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik.
Governor Cuomo has been enveloped by multiple scandals. First, you have the nursing home scandal and the cover-up. You also have the sexual harassment scandals. Not one, not two, but five women have come forward.
And now we're hearing of yet another controversial directive from Governor Cuomo. He's being accused of ordering homes for the developmentally disabled to take in COVID patients. Brian Yenis with Fox News.
Around the same time that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration ordered nursing homes to readmit COVID-19 patients, the administration also ordered that homes for people with developmental disabilities also accept these COVID patients.
More than 550 people with developmental disabilities died of COVID in those homes in New York. Life after lockdown. The CDC giving those vaccinated against COVID the green light to resume some pre-pandemic activities.
The CDC recommendations didn't necessarily go far enough.
Dr. Nicole Sapphire, the author of Make America Healthy Again.
What about going out to restaurants? What about traveling? What about the rest of life? And they didn't really address that. And unfortunately, if you don't go forward and really give people an incentive to get vaccinated, they're not going to want to get vaccinated. We're not going to reach that level of herd immunity.
The new guidelines give the okay for fully vaccinated people to visit indoors with other fully vaccinated people. travel without wearing masks or socially distancing. Dr. Sapphire says she expects even more guidance from the CDC to come out soon. The U.S. House could vote on a revised COVID relief package later today, and that nearly $2 trillion deal could be on the president's desk by tonight.
Senator Manchin and Senator Sanders and a range of Democrats in between just voted to support a $1.9 trillion package that is the most progressive piece of legislation in history. So I would say we feel pretty good about that.
White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki, the massive spending bill has passed through both chambers of Congress without one single Republican supporting it. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott.
It is not a COVID relief package. It's more of a progressives payment plan because it pays everybody. It pays cities, it pays states, it pays prisoners.
President Biden, meantime, will give his first primetime address Thursday night. He'll mark 1 year since the start of the COVID shutdown. White House senior advisor Cedric Richmond.
He's going to convey the same message he did on the campaign trail, which was he has a plan. He's executing that plan. And as a country, we're going to come together. We're going to beat this pandemic. We're going to rise from this economic crisis. And then we're going to build back better, which means we're not going to leave anybody behind this time. We're going to make sure that we bring everybody along with us.
The pandemic has claimed over 525,000 lives in the U.S. since it first shut down the country 1 year ago. After a one-day delay, the trial for the former cop caught on video with his knee on the neck of a black man in Minneapolis got underway today. Derek Chauvin has been charged with George Floyd's death. The victim's sister, Bridget.
I want you guys to continue to pray for our family because we need it.
Jury selection started today with opening statements in the trial scheduled for later this month. The other three police officers implicated in the death of George Floyd scheduled to go on trial later this summer. Still to come this Tuesday, impeachment push in New York, masking up in Pennsylvania, and the worst city for pandemic traffic.
Well, good afternoon to all. Spring-like weather now greeting much of the northeastern United States, and that spring-like air will linger through the next couple, 3 days and nights. I'll have forecast details in 10 minutes.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, March 9th. The U.S. House expected to give final approval today on President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package. The president will likely sign it before his primetime address to the nation on Thursday. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson doesn't like it.
It really is a Pelosi payoff bill. 91% of that bill has nothing to do with COVID-19.
Pennsylvania will receive $13 billion from the American Rescue Plan. New York gets $24 billion. New York Assembly Republicans introducing a resolution to start impeachment proceedings against Governor Cuomo. Minority Leader Will Barclay.
During the Watergate years, a bipartisan group of legislators went to see President Nixon, and they said, President, if you don't resign, we're going to commence impeachment against you. Interestingly, as you heard the governor say yesterday, I'm not going to resign. If you want to get rid of me, start impeachment. Well, we think now is the time to act.
Political strategist Hank Shinecoff says Governor Cuomo is taking a calculated political move by daring lawmakers to impeach him.
He dares them because it'll tie up the government. It'll make it look like they're the ones responsible for the problem, not Andrew Cuomo. If there's an impeachment, it will be chaos.
A New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik says the longer Governor Cuomo stays in office, the more he hurts the state.
It's not just Republicans who are speaking out for his resignation, it's Democrats as well. And if they really want to take action on behalf of everyday New Yorkers, they need to join Republicans to start impeachment proceedings.
A recent Emerson College News Nation poll, meantime, shows the governor's approval rating at an all-time low in New York. Just 38% of New Yorkers like the job Andrew Cuomo is doing. New York State Attorney General Letitia James has announced her team that will investigate the sexual harassment claims against the governor. Legal analyst Barry Covert says that team will have far-reaching powers.
They have the power to subpoena people, to compel them to sworn testimony. They have the power to subpoena documents. So this is a different process than if it were just a normal investigation done by the Attorney General's office.
Covert says he expects a final report from the AG in about 2 months. Attorneys for the children of Daniel Prude have filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Rochester, New York. Prude died in police custody a year ago.
Failure to uncuff when the paramedics are finally allowed access to him. This was unconscionable, brutal behavior on the part of the police.
Attorney Matthew Pierce says the lawsuit seeks compensation for Prude's 5 children. The 7 officers involved in his arrest will not be facing any criminal charges. New CDC guidelines. Welcome news for a lot of local families. The government says fully vaccinated folks can mingle indoors in small groups with unvaccinated folks who are at low risk for COVID-19.
It's very liberating.
Patty Marshall from Farmington, New York, got the shot and is now able to visit with her family for the first time in a long time.
We see them through the door or whatever, or outside or something like that, but we've got too many health problems. We couldn't let them in.
The new rules also say folks who got the vaccine don't have to quarantine after they traveled somewhere. The guidelines also allow fully vaccinated folks to gather in small groups with other vaccinated people without masks or socially distancing.
In the future, as we get a greater percentage of our population vaccinated, then eventually it may be allowed to resume going to sports stadiums, for example, and not having to wear a mask. Now, maybe at first it would only be outdoor sports.
Dr. John Crane at UB School of Medicine says the vaccine is now slowly taking the country back to where it used to be. Masks still a must in Pennsylvania.
Mask wearing is abundantly important, and I want to make sure to emphasize that, because while we know we're making progress and we continue to invest in the vaccine rollout, we have to keep Pennsylvania safe.
That's Health Secretary Allison Beam.
Mask wearing is still mandatory, and we're still making sure that that's one of the mitigation measures that is preserved while we incrementally consider the relaxation of others.
Beam gave no time frame for when the mask mandate might be lifted in Pennsylvania. For the first time in nearly a year, residents at the Corning Center for Nursing and Rehab were able to see their loved ones again in person. Brenda Smith was able to see her mother at that facility in Corning, New York.
She looked very surprised. She was very happy to talk to me and see me in person. I usually get to video her, but seeing her in person is all that much better.
And the nursing home was able to reopen for visits with some restrictions after getting the green light from the state. The U.S. city with the worst pandemic traffic is, drum roll please,
drivers in New York City lost 100 hours of their lives to this last year. Time spent in traffic. That moved the city from 4th to number 1 in the nation. 100 hours is nearly a third better compared to pre-pandemic 2019, but other cities saw much more massive drops in traffic because of COVID-19.
Wendy Gillette reporting drivers in Boston spent 68% fewer hours in traffic because of the pandemic. Let's pause for sports. We call it your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in Dallas, and the Cowboys are agreeing to a monumental contract with their quarterback. The club is signing Dak Prescott to a 4-year deal worth up to $160 million with a record $126 million guaranteed. ESPN's Dan Orlowski.
He's now the second highest paid quarterback in football. He now has potentially the greatest contract in the history of football. And so now the expectations are Super Bowl.
Prescott, who turns 28 in July, missed most of last season after a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle in week 5 against the New York Giants. He was a 4th-round draft pick of Dallas in 2016. He has a 42-27 record as a starter in his time with the Silver and Blue. The Bills and center Mitch Morse have agreed to a restructure. The restructure is only for Morse's 2021 salary and will reduce it by $2 million, some of which he can earn back through incentives. Sources say it was not an ultimatum, but mutually agreed upon. Morris wants to help the cash-strapped Bills this year. His cap hit now sits around $8 million for 2021. The New York Football Giants and defensive lineman Leonard Williams working on a long-term deal as the franchise deadline is today at 4 o'clock. ESPN reports the Jets have slapped the franchise tag on safety Marcus May. The Washington football team also tagged right guard Brandon Scherff for the second straight year. Baseball news. Steven Strasburg is going to be on the mound today, making his spring training debut for the Washington Nationals. The 2019 World Series MVP and three-time All-Star scheduled to throw 30 to 35 pitches against the Houston Astros. John Lester returns to the Nationals camp after surgery last Friday to remove his thyroid gland. And veteran left-hander David Price says he's willing to take on whatever role the Dodgers believe will make them a better team. With the addition of free agent Trevor Bauer this offseason, Los Angeles has seven viable starting candidates. The 35-year-old Price missed last season's run to the World Series after opting out due to COVID-19. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, Joe Biden's border blunder, Andrew Cuomo's impeachment probe, and marshmallow madness.
The desire to have children is not a problem to be solved, but it does need to be brought into a line with God's design and children's needs. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. This past week, we heard from a woman who's wrestling with whether or not to go ahead with an international adoption. Well, good heavens, adoption is so hopeful, why would anyone question it? Well, the woman who wrote in is single, and she's committed to the biblical description of marriage and family. She knows, for example, that children tend to fare best when raised by biological mom and dad. She understands that practices like sperm donation or surrogacy intentionally create a life in which that parent-child relationship has been broken. She knows that even if not biological, there's still a difference between mothering and fathering, and that kids tend to fare better if they have both. As a single woman, she wondered whether her desire to adopt would lead to a child being deprived of a father. Here's how she put it. My need, in quotes, cannot be the deciding factor in this decision. I know this child needs a father. I know that even my best intentions, my hardest efforts will not compensate for this loss. Now, at the same time, as she undoubtedly understands, the alternative for so many children around the world is grim. In much of the world, a high percentage of those who age out of orphanages, including orphanages in Eastern Europe, where she hopes to adopt from, they end up in jail, or maybe worse. I can't help but think, she says, that providing a loving home with one Christian parent would be better than a life in these group homes with no parents. And she's exactly right. And this woman's honest and serious ethical reflections are all of the right distinctions. Her desire to adopt a child in need is a beautiful one. It's not comparable in the least with sperm donation or surrogacy, neither in intention nor in practice. And here's why. As Katie Faust, author of the new book, Them Before Us, rightly points out, the child manufacturing practices of our modern reproductive technologies are largely motivated by the emotional desires of adults. Certain treatments of infertility attempt to fix or heal what is broken, but others clearly cross the line and treat kids like commercial products. As a result, surrogacy and sperm donation create a brokenness that didn't exist before. Children are deprived of the right to know a biological parent. These technologies place us, adults in their desires, before them, children in their needs. To use stark terms in a very real sense, these procedures create orphans. Now, that's a very different scenario than attempting to meet the need of an orphan, meet the need of a child already facing a life with no mother or father. Though this woman has a God-given desire to be a mom, her fundamental question is not, how can I become a parent? Instead, it's, how can I give this child a parent? The difference is everything. Now, just as important in all this is her recognition that fathers matter, too. And as a single mother, she won't be able to fill that role. While our larger society has embraced the idea that all kids need is love, and while so many mothers have to play the heroic role of attempting to fill the need of both mom and dad, she realizes that a mother's love and a father's love simply aren't the same. Now, if this woman does open her heart, her life, and her home to a child who's lost mom and dad, I pray that her story and example people of clear thinking will inspire others to put them before us. That's the title of Katie Faust's new book, which covers the full spectrum of issues in which our culture struggles to rightly honor and respect children. You can pick up a copy of Them Before Us with a gift of any amount to the Colson Center this month. Just visit breakpoint.org/broadcast. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the stage is set for some early spring-like weather across our region, thanks to a shift in the jet stream. Temperatures will be trending higher. Past 50 in spots today, past 60 in spots tomorrow. Next chance of precipitation, that's Thursday with rain showers. Colder air will then follow heading into the weekend. For this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny and mild. High temperatures, mid-40s to the mid-50s. Then tonight, partly cloudy to clear. Low temperatures, mostly 30s. Tomorrow, spring-like. Fair amount of sunshine. Temperatures peaking at or just over 60. Cooler near the shores of the Great Lakes. And Thursday, cloudy and mild. Showers in western New York and western Pennsylvania will spread east later in the day. The high temperature on Thursday in the 60s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, March 9th. A humanitarian crisis now unfolding at the U.S. southern border, where officials say they've detained more than 3,200 unaccompanied minors. That's more than triple the number just 2 weeks ago.
This is an urgent matter. It is very similar to the urgency of the pandemic.
Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson.
This has to have the president's attention, as well as his key advisors, to look for solutions. And the solution comes from sending the signal that don't come, you're going to be repatriated back to your country.
Hutchinson says President Biden can solve the crisis by simply toughening his rhetoric when it comes to illegal immigration. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says the crisis is Biden's own making.
This is the Biden border crisis. And they sent a team down this week to ask about whether or not there were enough teachers there or what the accommodations were for kids. How about the team ask, what are we doing to stop it and to turn these migrants back and to tell them this is not the way to come to America?
Senator Cotton says until the administration changes its tone, the crisis will only get worse as we enter the spring and summer months. A former federal prosecutor and an employment lawyer have been tapped by New York State Attorney General Letitia James to lead the investigation into sexual harassment claims against Governor Andrew Cuomo.
It's important to have independent legal experts who are going to get the firsthand information and decide what is it that Cuomo did and what would be the appropriate remedy for his behavior.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson. Republicans in the New York State Assembly, meantime, have started the process of removing the governor through impeachment proceedings. Crown Publishing has pulled the plug on Cuomo's new book about the pandemic. It stopped promoting and producing it. Here's media critic Howie Kurtz.
The very premise of this book is that Andrew Cuomo did a fabulous job battling the pandemic, and that now has been undermined, obliterated, really, by the cover-up of the magnitude of nursing home deaths in New York State.
The governor also under investigation after being accused of sexual harassment by five women, four of whom used to work for him. For the 31 million people in the country who've been fully vaccinated against COVID, life can start to get a little closer to normal. The CDC says it's okay for those folks to gather in small groups indoors without masks or distancing.
It'll be nice for my family, for sure. Get to hang out without masks and having to worry about that.
Dr. David Agus teaches medicine at USC.
You're going to see more relaxations over the next couple of weeks. But what we don't know is these asymptomatic individuals, when they're with large numbers of people who are not vaccinated, do they have the ability of spreading at all? And that's what we're learning over time. And until we have that data, gatherings are going to be restricted, travel is going to be restricted. But I think over the next several weeks, again, we'll have that data.
But some say the new guidelines don't go far enough in getting folks to get out and mingle, which many health experts say will be the quickest way towards achieving herd immunity. The year-long pandemic has had a huge impact on the kids with school closings and remote learning. This eighth grader in New York City says it's been a challenge, to say the least.
Sometimes you'll be losing connection and you can't log into the classes.
Bonnie Hayward teaches school in Mesa, Arizona. She says remote learning comes with a number of distractions.
There's a lot of things that can sidetrack you at home. I've had students who are watching TV at the same time, students who you can see in their reflection that they're playing video games off of their glasses.
Officials say the fallout will last long after the pandemic is over, too. The CDC says between April and October of last year, health officials saw a 30% spike in mental health cases among kids. New Jersey guidance counselor Gina Testa.
My students are suffering. They're breaking down. I have parents that are on Zooms with me crying about what's going on with their kids at home.
In a September survey, half of kids between the ages of 11 and 17 said they had suicidal or self-harm thoughts nearly every single day. A new study out of Case Western University in Ohio finds folks with dementia twice as likely to get COVID as those without it. Other studies have linked obesity with an increased risk of contracting the virus. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Caitlin Lambert from DeShore, Pennsylvania. She's providing legal services to kids wrongfully imprisoned in Somaliland in Africa. Why did you get involved with this?
Kind of goes all the way back to when I was in college. And I had one professor who said, you know, when you graduate, Caitlin, you have to have one big idea to pursue. And my big idea at the time was East Africa and Rwanda. So I went to Rwanda and I had just an immense experience working with genocide survivors. And I knew then I wanted to become a lawyer.
Yeah.
So it came back to the States, became a lawyer. And then in 2015, when I graduated, I got this opportunity to go to Somaliland and work on a justice project.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Somaliland with a very narrow idea of justice. You know, the kind of justice that, you know, prosecutions and convictions and this idea of crimes and wrongdoing. But then in about 2018, we started a project for prisoners and condemned persons.
Mm-hmm.
And I started spending a lot of time in jails and prisons and, you know, got to see the humanity of the condemned.
Sure, yeah.
And the idea that you don't put crimes in prison, that you put people there. And especially in Somaliland, this is very critical for children. So Somaliland, you know, the GDP per capita is estimated at around $350. It's one of the fourth poorest countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into these places and you see children, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds sitting there in concrete cells. There's no public defender system to speak of. Lawyers are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, you know, the poor of the poor of the poor
mm-hmm.
just go before judges without any defense.
What you're doing, how is it being received over there?
Very well. A lot of the judges that, you know, our cases go in front of, they want to do the right thing. They want to do what is best for children, what is best for their society, what is best for Somaliland. But oftentimes you need either a lawyer or what we call a legal advocate who isn't a lawyer, but works with the family, with the accused person to know the law, understand the law, and then use it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something as simple as a lot of cases that we get, there are no birth certificates in Somaliland. So mm-hmm. unlike in the U.S. where, you know, we know when we were born, we know our age, it's documented in several places. This isn't the situation in Somaliland.
Yeah.
But you have to be 15 before you can be criminally prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, you know, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, they can't prove their age or they don't know, their family doesn't know that they need to do that.
My sister used to live in Lesotho, and she was talking about the criminal justice system there and the fact that the cops were so corrupt. Is that what you're facing there? Just law enforcement itself is very corrupt?
There is an element of corruption, and a lot of that comes from the police. Maybe they make $100 a month. So in order to survive, they have to find different ways of making income, which is kind of the sad fact.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, really, though, in Somaliland, what hampers cases, what hampers the police more is not so much corruption, but the fact that the police force is coming out of military dictatorship, so they're still militarized. It's more about the police feeling that they're the ones in control because there's no civilian oversight of the police.
Now, how are you supported financially to be able to provide this service?
So we're establishing the Children's Legal Defense Center in Hargeisa, which is the capital of Somaliland. And to make this a reality right now, we're raising seed funding. We have a GoFundMe set up, Advanced Justice for Children in Somaliland. We're nearing our goal, but, you know, we're looking for people to join us in really fighting for justice in Somaliland with these children.
From DeShore, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report. Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the stage is set for some early spring-like weather across our region. Thanks to a shift in the jet stream, temperatures will be trending higher. Past 50 in spots today, past 60 in spots tomorrow. Next chance of precipitation, that's Thursday with rain showers. Colder air will then follow heading into the weekend. For this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny and mild. High temperatures, mid-40s to the mid-50s. Then tonight, partly cloudy to clear. Low temperatures, mostly 30s. Tomorrow, spring-like. Fair amount of sunshine. Temperatures peaking at or just over 60. Cooler near the shores of the Great Lakes. And Thursday, cloudy and mild. Showers in western New York and western Pennsylvania will spread east later in the day. The high temperature on Thursday in the 60s.
All right, Kevin Williams, not going to lie, I really love watching that snow melt out there. Finally, at noon, well, forget March Madness. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has some marshmallow madness.
Just in time for Easter, Peeps is moving beyond the candy aisle. Fans can now show off their favorite flavor by wearing it. The brand has created a makeup line. It includes makeup sponges shaped like Peeps and an eyeshadow palette in six glittery colors inspired by the iconic treats that are manufactured in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The collection is being sold online at Hip Dot and Ulta. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
I don't eat Peeps and I definitely won't be wearing them. Thank you, Brandon. That's the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for joining us today. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.